Welcome to the Lucema Podcast. I'm Charles Lucema. I wanted to talk about a few of the things, kind of like the griping matters that are kind of bothering me, kind of in the whole working with Capture One and again trying to compare it and trying to figure out what actually it's doing. So one of the things that bothers me a lot is this heavy dependence on technology. And the disclaimer is, of course, that we are working in an industry, in a profession that requires heavy use of tools. These tools have seen an incredible amount of development and advancement and evolution over the last 10, 15, 20 years. Not only on the capture side of things, but also in the processing side of things. Pretty much every component of what we do has advanced tremendously. And even so, there's so much so to the extent that even the way that we source our models has advanced tremendously and is so different from how it used to be. Now, part of me is resentful and upset that I even think or have thought that much about Capture One, because there's a purist in me that I fully believed if I lived in the 70s or if I grew up in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, I'd be one of those old guys that says, oh, Photoshop is cheating. You guys are all, you know, analog is the only real thing. Digital isn't real. I'd be one of those guys. I really would, because there's an old guy mentality in me where I get a little upset about our, again, first of all, in this context, over dependence on technology, and then two, getting so excited about like new tools. I mean, like, where is the work going? Where is the attention going if you're spending all this time trying to, again, either learn or adapt to a new tool or a new technology instead of shooting? You see, so I've had a couple podcasts where I'm like, you know, shoot more, think less. So that's part of my kind of gripe with it. But again, you can't take away from the fact that, again, this is a technology-heavy profession. And without being able to keep up with the Joneses, I don't think any master professional photographer chooses to use a lesser tool. I don't see Steven Meisel or, Annie Leibovitz grab a entry level, Canon or Nikon versus whatever top of the line is out there. I think the best photographers are always using the best tools and staying on top of things. So I think that's just a responsibility that we have to take. It doesn't mean I have to be happy with it. It just means that it's something that I'm obliged to reconcile within myself. I talked about this in the last podcast, the sum of the difference of how a product or how an image looks coming out of Lightroom versus out of Capture One is for me at least, largely due to the compounding of minor adjustments. But over compounding many minor adjustments, you wind up with a vastly different product, right? And I think that's the philosophy or philosophical difference that I find with Capture One, is that it allows me to think a little bit differently and do things a little bit differently for the sheer fact that I can. You know, if I have, for example, if I only have a screwdriver and a knife, then that knife is going to double as the flathead screwdriver that I don't have. But if I have a flathead, a knife, and a Phillips head screwdriver, if I only had a Phillips head screwdriver and a knife, then the knife has to double as a flathead screwdriver. But if I have a flathead screwdriver, a Phillips head screwdriver, and a knife, then I'm going to be able to do things a little bit differently and with a little bit more refinement, right? Because I'm not going to have to work so hard to try to get that knife to fit in the head of the screw, and it's going to work a little faster. It's going to keep me a little fresher. So the more tools that I'm able to leverage, ultimately, just the more different things will look in the end of the day. And as of right now, I'm not using Lightroom, or rather, I'm not using Capture One in isolation. I'm not using it only as the only raw converter. I'm moving things back and forth. First of all, I'll import it into Lightroom. Then I'll look at it on Capture One, make adjustments. I'll put it back into Lightroom as a TIFF file. I'll make further adjustments, and then I'll export it into Photoshop, and I'll make more adjustments. Most of which are the local ones, like Dodge and Burn, whatever, Liquify. Then I bring it back into Lightroom, and then I make more adjustments again. And then that's not even getting to the final output. You know, final output has its whole, workflow of whatever I'm doing, cropping, filling, content-aware filling, all that stuff, right? So, and then maybe even some more color adjustments along the way. But anyway, the point being is, I'm not working in Capture One in isolation, but I appreciate that I have it as a tool to be able to add to my arsenal of things that I can leverage. And I really do think that having that that ability to kind of, again, having the levels adjustment within Capture One versus having to export it into Lightroom to be able to access that, has changed. It's definitely changed the way that my pictures look. I don't know if the levels adjustment in Capture One is a raw adjustment, but I certainly know that it is affecting the way that my workflow accommodates, the way that I tune for midtones. So the compounding of little adjustments and additional tools, or letting me have additional tools, is really affecting the way that I think ultimately, creates a different picture. Now, the cool thing about being in an industry or in a job where that requires tools, technology, gadgets, and whatnot, is that these things make our jobs fun. One of the things I thought about was, if you're an artist and all you have to use is, let's say, charcoal, that's your thing, charcoal and canvas, you're probably not writing about or talking about new technologies ever. Or maybe you are, I don't know. Maybe if charcoals develop over time or evolve or whatnot, but my guess, my gut feeling is those things haven't changed in probably 50 years. And therefore your creativity or your ability to create work or new work is really driven by internals. And for me, one of the fun things about doing what I do is I get to play with new stuff, right? I get to play with new toys, new gadgets, and new tools. And for example, getting the A7R Mark II was great timing, because I could feel a slump coming on and I was like losing momentum, and I was like, by getting the A7R Mark II, I introduced something new, a little bit refreshing that forced me to look at, for example, focusing and different focus modes, or for example, just even larger file sizes, and then even pushing myself to have to think about how I structure my file management systems. And then of course with Capture One at the same time, that also introduces something a little bit different. I mean, these things, even though they can be irritating to have to learn, to have to adapt to, is also what makes our work and our artistry constantly shifting and moving and different. I know I complain about Instagram all the time, but the reality is Instagram forces me to look at the way that I do different crops, the way that I compose several images. I mean, not several images, but the way that I put several images together in a composite. If it weren't for Instagram, I probably wouldn't even have the big print on my wall, because that was a result of having to, try to put disparate pictures together, or actually in that case, it was actually from the same set. But yeah, to really put things together in a square format that I'm not accustomed to, So technologies, gadgets, tools are great. You know, I use them again for keeping my momentum up, to keep myself excited, to keep myself engaged. But of course, it also is a double-edged sword, because it means that the thing that we're trying to do is so dependent on these things, on these technologies, on these tools that are constantly changing. And, you know, it's a moving target. And, you know, not being able to follow along or keep up with the Joneses may mean that you could fall behind. But at the same time, I think, and this is the last point that I want to make, is that if I were to attribute some amount of my image to, let's say, Capture One or Lightroom or processing, versus how much of it is just pure, I guess, lighting, or how, you know, pure, you know, vision, I would say it's about 9 to 1, or 10 to 1 rather. So I would say most of what I'm doing, most of what I am capable of, is inherent in the image itself, right? I'm not painting in shadows that don't exist. I'm exaggerating shadows that are already there, or I'm exaggerating highlights that are already there, or vice versa. I'm trying to neutralize a shadow that's a little dark, or I'm trying to neutralize a highlight that's a little too bright. But my ability to do so is very limited. I can't, again, like I was saying earlier, Capture One allows you to push the shadows too much. It allows you to bring down highlights also a lot. Your ability to create something that looks unique is still limited by what you're capturing. It's 10 to 1 for me how much of it is in the shot versus how much of it is retouched into the shot. So at the end of the day, when I think about Capture One as a new tool for helping me do things that I already do, it's really just accentuating something that is present, but my ability to improve upon my images is largely a result of being even more keen, being even more sensitive to lighting, to really, really make sure that I have my ratios properly dialed in, my lighting ratios. It's something I've never really talked about, but I've alluded to in the last podcast or two, maybe two podcasts or three podcasts ago, I talked about lighting. You know, I hadn't thought about lighting in a long time. I've largely just been shooting, you know, natural light, because, well, that's what looks good to me, and also that's what's present, and that's what makes it easy for me to not have to carry too much gear. But that's not to say that I'm, and okay, so one of my confessions is that it made me a little lazy for a little while. Shooting natural light in general circumstances, I kind of was only looking at it from the frontal perspective of how that light is affecting or lighting my subject on the front of her face. Coming to the studio and having multiple windows from multiple angles really reintroduced to me the idea of a multiple light concept or a multiple light setup. And for example, one of the things I'm doing now is really looking to see how I can engage or introduce a rim light or backlight into the scene naturally. And of course, that's a little difficult to do so, given that, well, if you don't have a reflector and you're going out to shoot, typically you're limited to wherever that sun is or wherever that diffuse light is coming from. But that being said, there's a lot of bounce that happens all the time. You know, it's funny, I was looking at a picture of some of the hummingbirds that I used to shoot. And one of my favorite pictures of the hummingbirds that I'd ever shot was one that was actually a combination of a two-light setup. But it wasn't by design. It just happened that the bird was facing the feeder. The sun was hitting the bird from behind. But because the bird was so close to the feeder was white, I think it was wider, it was clear, and it was bouncing and reflecting a lot of that sunlight back onto the bird's chest. So in that image, I was getting a two-light setup. I like that image. It was probably my favorite hummingbird shot that I'd ever taken. But it wasn't until today, like some 10 years later, that I was able to articulate and tell you why that was my favorite picture, and that I was able to actually recognize that this was a two light setup, not a one light setup as I had originally thought. Case in point, well, I mean, the point being, so what I'm trying to say is that even in natural lighting or natural circumstances, such as being outdoors or being on location, whether you're in a studio or whether you're just using, you know, some location lighting, there's always opportunity to be able to introduce multiple lighting, multiple light sources. For example, like if we were out in the canyons, the sky is going to be one source, and then oftentimes you can use the bounce from the direct sunlight onto the rock as a secondary source, and depending on the ratio of one to the other, hopefully you can control them so that they're not, that one does not overpower the other. But these are things that, honestly, again, the only point of saying any of this is that it's been a while since I've thought about lighting, and I used to think that I had gotten as far as I maybe could have gotten with lighting, and that there wasn't much else or more that I could learn. But as these things go, there really is more depth if you just try to scratch farther underneath wherever, whatever level you're at. And inevitably, you'll find something else to try, to do, to learn. And, you know, ultimately, again, as great as Capture One is, and no matter, you know, however I integrate it into Lightroom or however I use it, at the end of the day, I'm still limited by whatever image it is that I've created. So, yes, I spend a lot of time in front of the computer, but it behooves me to still improve my process. You know, it behooves me to get better models. It behooves me to get better locations, you know, and to figure out how to introduce that light into that shot to make for a better shot and not be stuck with the typical one light directional frontal, you know, setup. And that really is, I think, the final frontier for me is, you know, maybe they will one day create the hybrid version of Capture One and Lightroom, and it'll be amazing to use, and it'll be the best workflow ever, and it won't create a million tiny little, you know, system management, you know, files, adjustment files, preview files, whatever. But, it, you know, unfortunately, it's garbage in, garbage out. Until I am able to give this system, retouching system, a better image, I'm going to be limited to the type of output that I can create. So anyway, that's the 2.5 version of this experience with Capture One. This one was a little bit more philosophical, coming from let's stand back a little bit and let's look at what's going on with our dependency on this program or these sets of programs, Lightroom included, and really think about, and take a step back and really think about, well, how much weight do we really want to put, you know, into any one of these things, you know? It is fun to talk about, though, you know, I mean, cameras and you know, software, it's all really a lot of fun, and they're really cool things. But, you know, honestly, at the end of the day, if you ask me what's the difference between your A7 Mark II and your A7R Mark II, I'd tell you not a whole lot. From what I can tell, to be honest with you, I barely even noticed the file size increase, and that's going from 24 to 42 megapixels. It just, I don't know what it is about the pictures, but they don't seem all that much different, meaning that I think it's just because the sensor is creating the image with smaller pixels. But the A7 Mark II had bigger, crisper, chunkier pixels that were, you know, equally, I guess, made for an equally sharp image, you know, if that makes any sense. So anyway, the only difference that I can really perceive between the two is more so from a interface, from a a shooting perspective that, okay, I'm focusing differently and I'm using the camera a little bit differently. And yes, it slows my shooting down a little bit more because of its large files. But outside of that, I really don't perceive a huge benefit from moving from one to the other. And likewise, when I look at, okay, Lightroom 2 Capture One, there is an improvement. It's smoother skin tones, it's color wheel, it's levels, you know, but then at the same time, there's some drawbacks, you know, like when I increase my exposure slider, it doesn't do the same thing as it does in Lightroom. It kind of just washes things out for whatever reason. It just looks kind of pale to me. So anyway, it has pros and cons. But the point is that it's an incremental benefit and advantage that doesn't rock my world. It gives me a few more tools and now I have more refined control over some of these things, you know, in my processing. But I don't know if anybody would, on a client side of things, like, I don't know if anybody would really care. I think that you guys, being that, you know, you're professionals, or that you guys are very in tune with the technology and the new advances with software, of course you guys are going to notice these things. And that's why you guys can probably feel like you can sniff out a Capture One picture versus a Lightroom picture. But at the end of the day, I'm not sure that it really makes that much difference to anybody. So again, that philosophical kind of step back, let's look at it for what it's worth and really just make sure that we're not spending more time doing something or in something that couldn't be better spent elsewhere. So anyway, that's the end of this podcast. My impressions of Capture One Part 2.5, I guess. So I'll talk to you guys all soon. Thank you for listening. And if you have any questions, let me know. You can hit me up on Lightroom, Instagram, Facebook, email, wherever else you can find me. All right. Cheers. Peace.